Grace to you and peace in the name of our newborn Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up in a small town. Only 700 folks or so lived there. We had one gas station, one bank, one post office, one school, one car dealer. I think we had two taverns and one little motel. That motel almost always had vacancy because we rarely had anything going on in my little town that people came there for. But if you decided to come visit during pheasant season, or if you happen to be in town on the weekend for a wedding at the church, you had better book your room early, because there were no other motels around. I don't know how small Bethlehem was at the time of Jesus' birth, but all historical data seems to indicate that it was certainly under 1,000 residents, perhaps as few as 300. It was just 6 miles away from the big city of Jerusalem, so it didn't really need a large amount of guest rooms available, unless travelers were going specifically to Bethlehem. Most of them would pass on through and find themselves in the big city. But Mary and Joseph needed to be in Bethlehem, because this was Joseph's ancestral home. This is where he was required to report for the Roman census. We're not sure how long Mary and Joseph were there in Bethlehem prior to the birth of Jesus, and we don't know for sure how long they stayed after the birth of Jesus. We also don't know if Joseph still had any relatives living there in Bethlehem. What we do know is that the situation was such that any guest rooms that would have normally been available in town now weren't. There simply was no room for them. And so they were relegated to accepting whatever shelter they could find. And what they found was some form of stable or cave, a place that was normally occupied by animals. And so began the story of Jesus' life. Had he actually stayed dead after his death on the cross, his tombstone could have very easily read, "Here lies Jesus, a man for whom the world had no room." There was no room for him in Bethlehem at the time of his birth, and there would be no room for him as he lived out his life either. Soon after Jesus began his ministry, he went to his hometown of Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue, and he began to teach. And the people there became furious at him. They took him to a cliff at the outside of town and tried to throw him off that cliff to kill him, because they had no room for what he came to teach. Jesus healed those with diseases. He cast out demons. He even raised people from the dead. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law hated him, began to plot his death, because they had no room for him in their misguided religiosity. King Herod tried to kill him as a baby boy, Pilate would finish the job when Jesus became a man, because there was no room for another king in Judea. Jesus' life and ministry and death were hounded by people that had no room for him. But he always had room for them. The woman caught in adultery. The woman at the well. Zacchaeus. The lepers. The demon-possessed. The children. All folks who normally would have been rejected by Jewish society, Jesus accepted and loved and welcomed and forgave. He always had room for those whom society was rejecting. He always had room for those who knew they needed help. That's why he came to this earth. That's why we have a Christmas. He came to help those who needed help, to bring hope to those for whom there was no other room. Came to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, make the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. He came to overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil, so that there be room enough for all of us in God's kingdom of heaven. And he did that by suffering and dying on a cross, and by rising from a grave. He was willing to put up with a world that had no room for him, in order that he might pay the debt of our sin, that we would be fully and freely forgiven. 2,000 years have passed since the birth of Jesus. But not much has really changed in our world or in people's hearts. There still is no room for Jesus. There's no room for him in our schools. No room for him at our stores. There's no room for him on Sunday mornings, as long as the children are involved in sports or in some club. There's no room for him to tell us what to believe about marriage or ethics or our own identity. We supposedly live in a very tolerant society, but our society still won't tolerate Jesus. For him, they still have no room. And as Christians, we profess to be followers of Jesus, and yet still many of us don't have room for his authority. We disobey him and ignore his word whenever it challenges our comfort zone. We feel badly that there was no room for him on the night of his birth. But so many times we haven't done much more to create a vacancy in our world for him or in our lives. And yet he always has room for us. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful. Even when our obedience is lacking, his heart is forgiving. Even when our love for him and others grows cold, his love for us burns bright. That's why we're here today, to thank him and to praise him. Because through Jesus, God has made room for us. He's made room for us in his home, in his heart, and in his heaven. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've come from, God has room for us. He has room for us in His family because of the life and the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus. Jesus laid aside His place in heaven, and He willingly came into this world, a world which He knew had no room for Him and no desire for Him to be here. But He came anyway so that He could save His people from their sins, save us from an eternity separated from God. And now, this very moment, He's in heaven making our room ready for us. Remember some of the last words that He spoke to His disciples. He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you." May we always remember that. And may we learn to make as much room for Him in our daily lives as we do for Him at Christmas. To make as much room for Him as He has made for us. To God be the glory. For the sake of His Son, Jesus. Amen.